Write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word this morning and pray your blessing. We ask, Lord, your grace and mercies be unto us that we may hear and receive of these things. We pray, Lord, even as we look at this text in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 through verse 19, especially, Lord, that you would minister it to our hearts with such grace that we would hear it and believe, and that we would also live out in our lives what it means to be truly loyal to you, Lord, and of a great heart of devotion toward you, and living with that righteousness of Christ that you would have us to live out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue with this text this morning concerning a remedy for being lukewarm, we want to look more specifically at verses 18 and 19 in particular, but we'll be referring to some of the other texts as well that have to do with this passage. But let us begin by saying this. Since you are familiar with what it means to be lukewarm and how that applies to a church that is not truly on fire for God and does not have that devotion toward Christ that they should, then let us consider the lukewarm church and how that the Lord may give us a revival in our hearts, as it were, for such a condition, or as we might say, a remedy for being lukewarm. We all perhaps sense what it means to have that sense of complacency, wherein we kind of take things as a oh-hum and not really give our whole heart to it. And so we realize that it truly would be the opposite of that. Perhaps, you know, it might be our attitude toward prayer and how that we give little attention to it. Perhaps it would be our attitude also toward attending church and feel as though, well, it really doesn't matter whether I'm there or not because there's enough other people to fill up the pews, or the church seems to get along quite well without me. Perhaps it might also be that in the area of gifts and abilities, that we feel like, well, my gift is very small and insignificant. How can it contribute much to anyone or to the church? And so, why should I bother to use my gift? There seem to be other people so well gifted and so able to do the work of the ministry. Or perhaps it is that we just have lost some of our zeal for the Lord. A zeal which, in the beginning, in the first century, turned the world upside down. That is, it was such a radical change in way of thinking concerning true worship and faith toward God that Jesus said that there would come a day when you will neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. But that if you will worship God, you must worship me in spirit and in truth in your very hearts. And so as we think about what it means to be lukewarm, and some of those things that I have suggested may be kind of like an indicator of a kind of lukewarmness, then let us turn those things around. Let us flip them over, if you will. Let us say that we would be most grieved if we missed one church service. Why? Because we meet together with other brethren who love the Lord. Why? Because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only place that we really find that we are fully equipped for the work of the ministry, is when we come together and when the Word of God is being preached. Let us just say also that we would be of such devotion to Christ that we would pray without ceasing in all things. We would desire above all else to pray first rather than lastly. And our prayer time would be so important to us that we would truly miss it if we somehow had to skip it one day. For we would sense that, well, everything hasn't gone quite right for me today because I've missed my prayer time with the Lord. And it is that time that I get alone with Jesus and I learn to listen to Him and to ask Him what He would have me to do. Perhaps it would mean also that our gifts and abilities would be so important to us that we would say, well, God has given me this gift, and so if I'm not at church, or if I'm not with the other brethren, or if I'm not in fellowship with them, where shall this gift be made known and be nourished and be matured and be strengthened? Yes, I can use it outside of the building. Certainly that is true. But if one does not care enough to be in the building with those of like precious faith, to make known gifts within the ministry comprehensively in all areas of ministry, then will one use it outside? You see, there are things within our very lives as being Christians which should be naturally coming out and being matured and being developed. Attending church is just as important for the congregation as it is for the pastor who stands before the congregation. Now, since this message is not about attending church, it's about how we might remedy lukewarmness, then I would suggest to you we have to do certain things that we might, as it were, encourage ourselves in the Christian life, to be more zealous, to be more of one mind and of one heart and of one faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that remedy for the Christian church against lukewarmness has much to do with our own discipline of faith and our own lives as we seek to live out our devotion for Christ and to show ourselves faithful as the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to be faithful unto Him. The remedy for the lukewarm church. Let's just look at verse 18 to begin with. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve that thou mayest see. Now as we look at verse 18, we find that in some sense it mirrors the opposite of what the Lord told them in verse 17. For in verse 17, the believers at Laodicea saw themselves as rich. They saw themselves as increased with goods. They believed they didn't have need of anything. But in truth, they were wretched, and they were miserable, and they were poor, and they were blind, and they were naked. Now, what does the Lord mean when he says to them in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire? First of all, we must be willing to receive the counsel that God gives to us. And the counsel that he gives here has to do with the very fabric of our Christian character and how that is refined and purified in our lives. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What is gold? Well, we know it's a precious metal. And precious that it was the unique thing of kings, that they had much of it. In fact, they valued it much more than silver. Silver they had in abundance, but gold, that was much more precious and much more rare and difficult to obtain and must be refined from the raw material, the gold in the ground, that the impurities might be taken out of it, and so that it had to be fired in a furnace. A refining fire had to be put to it, that it had to be put to the test, as it were, that it might be purified and all the impurities of the gold might be taken out of it. As we consider this as an emblem, even in our own Christian lives, of how God would refine us. Gold must be purified by the refining in the fire, and only through the trials of our faith may we be refined, and the dross of our lives be removed, that we shall come forth as gold. Well, Peter talks about it in this very same theme. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7, he says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Consider with me this, that a good remedy for lukewarmness is that God might take us through such trials and temptations of faith that we would be refined and come forth as gold. I would like to suggest to you that the lukewarm church does not want to go through trials. They want the ease of life. They want the plenty of things. They will not try themselves because they do not want to go through it. And moreover, they will not even submit themselves or yield themselves to the Word of God or to the Lord Jesus Christ that He might refine them. You see, part of that refining is that we heed the counsel of the Word of God. as we heed the counsel of God's word, God then is able to minister to us in such a way that we receive that word and that we are strengthened in the word through those various things which we encounter, particularly those trials and temptations of faith wherein we must trust the Lord. And so that means we must resort back to Him and to His word. We must seek His counsel. We must know His mind and His heart for us. A remedy for lukewarmness, then, is to submit yourself to the word of God. You must receive His counsel. A remedy for lukewarmness is that you must be willing to accept those various trials and testings that the Lord brings your way, realizing that God is refining you and strengthening you, that He is refining the church. If we might liken the lukewarm church to a liberal church, then we might say that the liberal church seems to have money because it trusts in its bake sales. Seems to have money because it trusts in its fundraising. Seems to have money because it trusts in its own ability to get those things that it is seeking to obtain. But what does the true Church of Jesus Christ do? Do we not trust in God and believe God's word that as the Lord prospers us, so shall we give unto the ministry? Do we not also believe that no matter what circumstance we face, we know that God will provide what we need? And like the Apostle Paul, learn to be content in whatsoever state or condition or manner of life we find ourselves in, believing that God will provide those things that He gives, and they will be sufficient for us. Was it not also in the Gospels that we read that the Lord knows what we need? That the birds of the air have plenty, that the lilies of the field are well dressed, that all those things of in natural order are taken care of by God, and that if we will trust in God, God will also take care of us. But see, those who are lukewarm do not look to the Lord to take care of them. They go about to take care of themselves. The church at Laodicea was taking care of itself. They were a merchandising people, and they didn't mind merchandising that they might obtain lots of money to do what they wanted to do. And they did. And so we recognize, whether it is in our devotion to Christ and attending church, or our devotion to Christ and giving, we also know that our devotion to Christ will come out as we are willing to heed the counsel of God and as we are willing to accept those testings that God brings our way and realize that, well, those are something that God really desires to perfect in us, to trust in Him. We also see in this same passage in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now, they were already rich, the church at Laodicea. So what did they need of more riches? They didn't. What kind of riches would Christ offer to us? Those riches which are according to our faith in Christ Jesus. You see, the riches of the world are not suitable to the Christian. They tend to make us lazy. They tend to make us trust in the uncertainty of riches. They tend to cause us to look to the riches rather than to look to God. Now, that is not to say that every Christian would do those things. it is just to say that the uncertainty of riches is not reliable. Riches are not reliable. But we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Why? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Perhaps the Laodicean church was just a little bit into the works thing for their own selves, thinking that their own works, perhaps, was that which was going to get them to heaven. Lukewarmness is a lack of devotion toward God. Lukewarmness is a lack of zeal toward Christ. Lukewarmness is a lack of true faith. If one does not have true faith, then one has to manufacture their own. And we know that there are people who do just that through their own works religions. But we find that the works or the religion or the faith that counts is that in Christ. And so in the ages to come, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our true Savior, he will show us those exceeding riches according to his grace. Why? Because we are saved by grace through faith. Why? Because we are saved by grace through faith. Why? Because we are saved by grace through faith. And all the true riches that are in Christ come by the riches of his grace toward us. Our riches are in Christ, not in this world, but of his glory, or to his glory. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And so here in the book of Colossians, Paul again writes, and as he wrote to the Colossian Christians, by the way, he also expected the same epistle to be sent unto the Laodiceans. And what did he tell them? He told them to realize that the riches which we have will be enjoyed in Christ far more than in this world. And so we recognize there is a great need to have this remedy for lukewarmness. The remedy of realizing of the riches which we have in Christ Jesus. Riches according to his grace, riches according to his glory. And as gold is tried in the fire and is refined, and all the dross is taken out, all the impurities are refined out of it, so Christ is seeking to refine us. And this in itself is a remedy for lukewarmness, that we might be refined. And that those impurities, those sins, those notions of our own self and humanity and humanism might be refined out of us, that we might have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might give true glory to him in the church of Jesus Christ. Our need will be met through faith as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church at Laodicea was a wealthy church. And many times we become very much distracted by the need for a certain amount of money to get us through. And we know that it is very easy for us to kind of make our own way and seek to develop our own riches. But Christ says that he is more than willing to supply our need. As in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, God has not forgotten us in our need to have food and raiment. God has not forgotten us in that. But as we give of ourselves unto the Lord, God will take care of us. He will do that in many different ways. Sometimes he will provide through giving you just the right job and the right opportunity to work and to earn your living, because we must work by the sweat of our brow. God has ordained that. It may be that he will give you also of the right attitude of mind, that you will realize that it's not necessary to have over an abundance of things, but just enough to survive, as God might give you the ability to take care of yourself and your family, and God will provide your need. He may also give you of that attitude of heart to realize that when you trust in him, that God will provide at the right moment. That is, instead of when we desire it, he will provide it according to his will, that he might teach you to trust in him. And so that job or that need that you have will be met at the opportune moment, that you might give glory to God for it, rather than giving glory to yourself because you worked three jobs. God is able to take care of our need. He wants us to trust in him that that might be accomplished. And so according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, according as we trust in Christ, according as we realize that he will meet our need, according as we realize that he will provide at the opportune moment, according as we might be content with what God provides for us. Many times, perhaps we get in a situation of our own choosing. That is, we've incurred too much debt, or that we have made some wrong choices. And so the Lord isn't to blame for those things. But in turn, he teaches us to learn how to trust him that we will not repeat those things and make our situation worse. But God will provide in our need. We just have to give him the opportunity to teach us how he will do that. Again, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold in the fire, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Now, in this particular instruction that the Lord has given to the church at Laodicea, we know again it is touching on another area that the church at Laodicea had plenty of. They had plenty of clothing. They grew, they had their own sheep, and so they had their own wool, and they were able to manufacture their own clothing, and their own clothing was sufficient for their need. In fact, it seemed to be there was an overabundance of need of supply in that area by the natural means of merchandising and so forth. But is that the kind of clothing that the Lord wants to clothe us with? The scripture seems to indicate that though that is necessary for practical human living, the Lord wants us to be clothed in white raiment. And what does this white raiment indicate? Well, as we look at the scripture, we find that the idea of being clothed in white raiment has more to do with our relationship with Christ. That is, the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. To be clothed in white. Well, here's a couple of verses that may help us understand that. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. through 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And so these that were before the very throne of God were clothed in this white raiment. Also in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white or fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now there, that's the clue, isn't it? Here are these that are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. These who compose the Church of Jesus Christ. And they have made themselves ready in that they have followed the Lord. They have become overcomers by the blood of Christ. And here they are arrayed at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they are arrayed in clean linen, white and fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. And so what does God desire for the believer? Those who would find a remedy for lukewarmness? Let us seek the righteousness of Christ in our life. Let us seek to put on the mind of Christ. Let us seek to live the life of Christ. Let us seek to know the righteousness of Christ more fully in our own lives. It is not our righteousness, it is the righteousness of Christ. And as we seek to live that righteousness, live that life of Christ, God who is our righteousness, Christ who is our righteousness, he will clothe us with that clothing which is sufficient to carry us into glory. No, he won't come down and hire a tailor and make some white clothes for you to wear. But you will know the righteousness of Christ in your life, and you will be living it out. You will know the righteousness of Christ in your life in such a way that you will be living by faith. You will be walking by faith. You will be praying in faith. You will be giving in faith. You will be fellowshipping in faith with other believers. All those things that you will be doing concerning living out your life, you will be doing by faith. The just shall live by faith, the scripture says. The righteous shall live by faith. Here is another remedy for lukewarmness. In closing, I'll give this last comment. There was another who needed to have the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. And as we think back to who that person was, we're reminded of Adam in the Garden of Eden. After Adam had sinned, after Eve had sinned against God, they knew that they were unclothed. They didn't know that before. They only knew that they were unclothed after they had transgressed the will of God. And so again, verse 18, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Well, when we think of the shame of nakedness, we immediately think of Adam and Eve, that they were naked, unclothed in the Garden of Eden. They were not aware of it. They were in innocence before they had sinned. But after they had sinned, they were no longer in innocence. They knew that they were naked then. And so they wanted to hide their nakedness. And so they did sew together fig leaves, and they did try to hide their nakedness before God. And God, of course, knew that they had sinned and began to question them and found out the sin that they had entered into. Of course, he knew anyway. But they acknowledged that they had sinned. Their acknowledgement of sin and humility before God then caused God to also clothe them. And so he covered the shame of their nakedness. And why is that a type of the righteousness of Christ or of God? Because Adam and Eve did not cover themselves with that covering, but rather God covered them. He shed the blood of an animal. The animal became the sacrifice for their sin. And they were covered. Their nakedness was covered up. The shame of their nakedness was no longer exposed. I'd like to say to you that the shame of our nakedness is covered in Christ, the sacrifice for our sin. It is not exposed any longer. It is covered in Christ. And so that white linen of righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. And as we take upon ourselves that life of Christ, we will realize more fully the covering which God has provided for us, and the shame of our nakedness and our sin. We will say it is covered under the blood of Christ, not because of ourselves, but because Christ has covered our nakedness, our sin, and our shame. These are remedies against the lukewarm church. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you that as we come to you, you can show us those things because we receive of the counsel that you give in your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we receive that counsel, we will look to you, Lord, that we might receive also of the refining of our lives, precious as gold, that we will receive of the clothing that you might put upon us concerning that righteousness which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will receive of those riches that Christ can give unto us, riches according to his glory, riches according to his grace. And Lord, that the zeal and devotion of our life may truly be to your glory and to your praise, and that you will want to preserve us faithfully unto the end. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.